VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here, as always, asking questions like, how many Saturdays are there in a week? Doesn't it seem like it's only been 2 or 3 days?
It did go by really quick, but it was a short week, so that helps. Yeah.
Well, in that regard, that was the best thing you could say about the market this week.
No doubt. It was a short week. No doubt. It ended the misery early.
Yeah, we needed two holidays this week, but we'll get to that. We're not there yet. Anyway, to all our regulars, thank you for always being there. We do this for you, and we also like to think we're doing it for some new people every week. So if you're new to the show, try to stick around for the hour. If you like the show, go ahead and tell your friends. It's been growing nicely. We know that from the feedback we get, and we're hearing from a lot of new people in the office and on the show itself. So it's very exciting. We're into the second half of our fourth year doing this now with no end in sight. And we like to think that you appreciate it, and we can tell because when you get tired of hearing what we're talking about, you pick up the phone and dial 222-8255, and we talk about what you want to talk about. So as always today, any callers will go to the head of the line immediately, and other than that, we'll fill in with some sporadic little goodies about things that are happening and some things that should be watched for. It's an interesting time of the year because this was the first week of the worst month historically in the 12, with exceptions. Because September's not always bad. It's just a long-term average that makes it bad. So we never know. If you're trying to guess it, you'll miss it. That's all I can tell you. So what we do is put up with it. I got some comments about how difficult it's been to make money this year. It's really been terrible. The last couple months have been the only bright spot in it so far. Mm-hmm. But we are certainly not pessimistic about the market this year. There's still some things hanging out there that need to get wrapped up, and I've got some evidence that some of them are on their way to getting wrapped up. So we'll talk about that. Meanwhile, if you weren't paying attention, we alluded to the fact that this wasn't a very much fun week in the market, despite some awfully good news. So you know what we say. Sometimes all news is bad news. Sometimes all news is good news. And other times news is just plain news and nobody cares.
Yep.
So this week, you couldn't make anybody happy. And I will tell you one thing for sure. If you think this was the first week of the off season, in other words, the not summer season, look at the volumes this week and it'll tell you, no, this was actually the last week of summer. Starting Monday, people will get back to work, but it didn't happen this week. And that's in a large measure why it was sort of a boring week. So carry on. Try to say something nice if you can.
Well, no one out there can say we didn't warn them, because we warned them.
No, we did.
It said last week that it's September, probably going to see some increased volatility. We did. And therefore, it happens. It's nothing to get concerned about at this point. And the funny thing is, like you mentioned, that the news was pretty good, and it was just one of those weeks where all good news is bad news, and the Fed's going to hike rates, and it's the end of the world. So, it really honestly wasn't that bad. The NASDAQ kind of took it on the chin a little bit, dropping more than twice the other two major indexes combined. It shed 2.6%, and I think you can attribute that to two things. First, the tech hearings were going on Capitol Hill, putting tech squarely in the crosshairs of a somewhat bipartisan effort to do something. We all know nothing good ever comes of Congress deciding to do something. So,
well, that's the truth.
So that was not really I don't know if anything will come of that or not. I suspect that nothing will, but that's just my guess. And the other is just some reversion to the mean. This year, the NASDAQ has been outpacing the market by almost double, and it pulled back a little bit. So it's still not quite double the S&P, but it's right in that range. So it's still way out ahead. So if you gave back 2.6% this week and you're up 14, is that really a loss? I mean, it's a pretty good year regardless. No kidding. So again, it was a short week and the losses were smaller than they could have been by that extra day. So the S&P dropped 1% and the Dow dropped 0.25%. Really just kind of a ho-hum week. We saw some, actually during the day, intraday, we saw some pretty major down moments, but it tended to bounce back pretty quickly. And by the end of the day, most days, the market had cut its losses at least in half, if not by more.
I was really surprised when I added up the numbers at the end of the week that it wasn't worse, because it was one of those that had a bad feeling.
For sure.
It.
But actually, there were a couple of green numbers throughout the week. They were just on
different
indexes.
Dow was up a couple of days.
Yeah. So.
And where's the hurt been this far? And it's been on the Dow.
So yeah, exactly.
It was making a little comeback, and it couldn't do it on the backs of the FANG stocks.
No. Well, two of them are still doing well. And Amazon actually hit the $1 trillion mark this week on Tuesday and then pulled back under it. So
FANG is now
AA. if you didn't like the U.S. markets this week, you probably hated the international markets. I didn't look too hard, but I couldn't find a positive number for any of the weekly charts for the
Brazil had a little tiny bounce.
Maybe I think it was 0.2% or something in that range.
Yeah, which on top of a, 30% loss?
30% loss this year, yeah.
So you're right. You can round all that to none.
Right.
And be very accurate.
It's kind of ironic, though, because the volume of global trade this month or this past month hit an all-time high. It's never been higher in the world. So there's obviously a lot of economic activity going on, and the world, well, the USA still represents about 25% of the world's GDP. So us threatening a trade war is affecting that. But at the same time, look at all the activity that's happening. And it just seems like the international markets are not rewarding that right now.
Yeah. What would you say if we said milk is the big hang up on the Canada deal? Can you imagine that?
Ridiculous.
That hundreds of billions of dollars that go back and forth around North America, and they're worried about milk.
Yeah, and you kind of have to ask yourself, why are China and Canada not willing to do these deals? Do you think maybe it's because they're getting the better end of the deal right now? Possibly.
Could it be?
No. Despite blaming Trump for being the one causing all this, who's really causing it, and why are they unwilling to negotiate?
September 5th, 2018, from Money and Markets. China desperately trying to defuse spiraling trade war. And I'll get into this after the next break at the end of the whole market wrap. Is listening to these people, they've got a bunch of quotes in here from the Chinese people, and it explains everything you want to know.
The emerging markets, again, officially entered bear market territory, down 20% from their January peak. And so there will be a buying opportunity there. I don't think we've seen it yet, though.
I'd look for another 10% down. It's usually right around the 30% mark that would create a great buying opportunity.
Maybe. I mean, you're going to have to follow it pretty closely, but it would be, my guess is it's going to be closer to that than right now.
Yeah, if you want to get into something like this that's falling, it's best to wait until the recovery starts. It's got to cross its moving averages and have a confirming day on top of that. And by then, I'm pretty confident that it'll last. So it'll happen. It's not there yet. International in general is doing the same thing. It'll bump up against this moving average, and it'll shoot down the next day, which just tells you the buyers aren't ready to buy yet. So there's not a darn thing we can do about it. It's just one of those things. All right, we're going to have a lot more. I think you'll probably get into the jobs reports and that sort of thing when we come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very interesting topic this particular month. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back and explain some of this. This is the Banway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banway.
And I'm Adam Banway.
And we want to continue this, but I first want to give out a trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 904-636-7888. There's a phenomenon going on right now that I find extremely unsettling. In our office, you'll hear this term a lot. There are two kinds of people that come in our door, people with pensions and people without pensions. Everybody who doesn't have one wishes they did. Well, pensions are great, as long as there's something backing them up. But what's happening now in all 50 states is that there's some mismanagement going on in those pension funds. In 2005, they held 9% of their funds' assets in alternative investments. And what that means is hedge funds, private equity, real estate, and commodities. In other words, risky things. Well, 9% is much higher than Adam and I would ever use in a client portfolio because of the risk involved. You want a smattering of it in there to try to make a hit? Fine, do it. But don't make it significant. Well, over the next 10 years, that has actually grown. I want to know what percentage now, and I'll take it plus or minus one, do state and local pension fund managers hold in alternative assets? And like I said, 9 is too high, but it has grown. So,
and just one note, hedge funds by themselves are not really a risky asset. No. They have just wildly underperformed in general the market over the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, which was partly for some of the time a lack of instability.
Right.
When the market had no variability, the hedge funds can't make any money.
A lot of them trade off of that volatility, and that's how they that's how they perform. And they actually limit their risk by the volatility. So not being able to do that, you just you won't see the returns that you're going to get in the market. Yep. So,
but that's not the same as a traditional investment portfolio. As it is, as long as you have a very small exposure to it. Mm-hmm. And it was too high in 2005. How high is it now?
Yep.
All right, let's talk about jobs.
It was a somewhat busy week for economic data. It was a little bit mixed, but more positive than negative. The job survey came out on Friday. It looked really good, and it never looks good in August. So that was kind of surprising.
It was a great number.
It actually beat on the jobs created number, and the best part about it was the wages. Wages are now up 2.9% year over year, and it isn't just managerial positions. Non-supervisory wages are up 2.8% year over year. So even lower skilled labor is getting some decent sized pay raises these days. So
and even non-high school graduates
You're seeing it across the board.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
It is.
You want a job? Just go get one.
So the biggest complaint over the last 10 years of the recovery has been the lack of wage growth. And it wasn't until the last few months that we've really started to see it. And it's been a big knock on Trump that we haven't seen it, but it just took a while for it to show up. But it's here now, and I know where I would attribute it to.
Yeah. So Adam and I have talked about this a lot, and I think you originally brought this up and nailed it. It's the number is not representative of what's going on.
No, not at all. And part of that is that there are so many baby boomers retiring right now. Yep. Every day. I mean, it's the numbers are incredible. It's somewhere north of 10,000 a day that are retiring. And a lot of those people were highly paid. And they haven't been retiring in those numbers because of the recession. You know, your 401k goes down by 50%. And you had a plan, and all of a sudden that plan's off track. What do? You decide to work a little bit longer in many cases. And so they kept those high salaries, and now those high salaries are leaving the workforce. Well, companies are, I mean, they're probably going to promote someone into that spot, but that person was already compensated almost the same as the spot they're going to take. And then they're going to hire someone at $40,000 to $60,000 a year on the other end, someone fresh out of college or whatever that might be. And so you're losing a, I don't know, $200,000 employee and replacing it with a $50,000 a year employee. And therefore, the overall wages paid don't look like they're accelerating like they actually might be.
No, there's a concept that most of you have probably heard of called the wealth effect. And it means when people feel richer, they go out and spend more money. Well, that's not all they do. When your 401k is up, when your house is no longer underwater, which mm-hmm. you probably had been for 7 or 8 years, now you've got a nest egg inside your house also, you feel more comfortable financially. The job market is such that you don't have to worry about losing your job tomorrow or this afternoon or whatever. And when you feel wealthier, you do go out and spend money. But you also, if you've been putting off retirement, and most people start thinking about it when they're in their 50s, and a lot of them will target age 62. Well, there's a couple things going on to stop that. The uncertainty, the lower 401ks, you think, well, if I keep working, I can keep contributing, I don't have to draw out. So they worked a little while longer. And all of that was coming into play. Well, now, everything's so much better and people are feeling so much better about it, they're finally willing to just cut it off and say, all right, now I think I can retire.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the small number at 10,000 people a day turning 62, 3, 4, 5, all of those ages, you can look at it as about 300,000 to 310,000 a month. Well, if it's really, I think, closer to 12,000, so you're probably in the mid-300s. Well, there were two numbers that caught my eye big time out of these jobs reports. The first one was the people who went from part-time to full-time. And this was the Obama effect when they put the 30 hours for benefits as a full-time job. A lot of people went from 40 to 28 or 29 hours because employers couldn't afford to pay for all the Obamacare. So that now has changed, and they're going back to full-time. There were 326,000 people last month that went from part-time back to full-time. Now, that is huge because what happens? They make more money. Their benefits are better. They can spend more money. We're 70% consumer-driven in the economy. Guess what? It's good for everything. The other number that I thought was very significant was that the labor force actually shrunk last month.
That's right.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
469,000 people less in the labor force. And it's not because people just gave up looking. It's because people retired.
Mm-hmm.
They're finally willing to say, okay, I'm going to retire. Well, now you talk about the jolts, the job opening, labor turnover. We've had now for, 3 months in a row, more jobs open than there are people looking for jobs.
Right. Yes.
This is going to get worse.
And what that spells for you that are in the workforce is just great news, because all those jobs that you had always, your boss's boss, those people are starting to leave. That creates openings. That means that everyone who's there is either going to get pulled up if you're worthy of that, or if you want to go out and find another job, there's probably an opening at your competitor. And I hate using anecdotal information to prove a point, but it's irrelevant to some degree.
Right.
But good. I can't tell you how many people I know right now that are getting better jobs. It's happening almost daily. I hear about a friend or an acquaintance that got a better job. It is so, it's everywhere. It's amazing.
We're talking significant monetary increases.
Yes,
too.
Definitely. Last night I went to happy hour with a friend of mine. He just got a great new job, making a lot more money. This morning on my way into the radio station, I talked to a friend of mine, and she just got hired by her competitor for more money. It's crazy.
It's happening all the time out there. For a year, we've been telling you, if you don't like your job or if you don't think you're making enough money, either quit and get a new one,
mm-hmm.
or approach your employer with a demand, knowing full well that if that demand isn't or can't be met, then you can find another job pretty easily these days.
It's true.
Drive up and down any street in America right now and count the number of help wanted signs. Now hiring, help wanted, this,
or
that.
Just open your Facebook, and my feed is full of now hiring things. And everywhere you look, it's incredible.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little concerned that people like FedEx and Target and some of the other big name people who use a lot of seasonal labor, they're going to have some trouble this year.
Well, you know what that means? They're going to have to pay more.
It means they're going to pay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
if you want a part-time job to enhance your holidays or something, mm-hmm. start looking around, because they're going to be there and they're going to pay you real well.
Yeah. It's your job prospects are looking really good right now.
Yep. In all of this, despite what we heard yesterday, if any of you were watching TV, is not because of the Obama economy. It is because we deregulated business. We cut taxes on everybody, and the expansion is doing exactly what we told everybody the expansion would do, accelerating, because it works every time it's tried.
I feel like even bringing up those remarks is giving it too much credibility. We shouldn't even talk about that.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
Let's talk about something else, jobless claims.
Let's do that.
Yeah, 203,000. That's one of the lowest number. Might be the lowest number I've ever seen.
Might be.
I don't.
That's the seasonally adjusted number,
right,
which is the lowest since 1969.
Crazy.
And the non-seasonally adjusted number was about 172,000. So think about it. That also is the lowest since 69. In 1969, about the same number of people lost their job this month. Population of the country was 202 million. It's now $330
million. So that, the adjusted number would be?
105,000.
Wow.
In other words, if you want to do a little bit of rounding on that, what it is actually telling you is it's none. It rounds off to none. People aren't losing their jobs.
Right.
And there's a pretty simple reason why. Because can't get a replacement. Now, for those of you who are lacking a high school diploma or a college degree or good old job experience, most employers right now are waiving or reducing requirements that they had on the job for the last 20 years because they need warm-bodied people in there. If you want a job, folks, don't come bawling to me. Go get a job. Right? All right, we got to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Got all kinds of things to talk about. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. A reminder, trivia question is still out there, sponsored by First Coast Alarm. In 2005, state and local pension fund managers held 9% of their fund's assets in alternative investments, which Adam and I consider too high. It actually increased over the next 10 years to what amount? And this is just dangerous, folks. You know, a pension manager, by definition, is supposed to be the most conservative investment manager out there. You're dealing with people's futures. Now, a lot of you might remember back in the mid-decade, the one that preceded this, Alex Sink, who ran for governor, was defeated, was the head of finance for the state of Florida, and she was caught, and the people who worked with her and for her, she was the head of the whole thing, she was caught requesting to invest in more speculative things than the pension fund would allow, and she was repeatedly denied, did it anyway, and $29 billion disappeared from the pension fund, and I will believe to this moment that that's the reason she never got any further. If that's what it took, hallelujah.
The thing that you should be hearing about pension fund managers now is that they have a serious dilemma, much like the elderly. Yep. They need to make money.
Yep.
You can't make money in any safe way right now, and so you're probably going to massively underperform the market. And if you're invested in bonds, you might actually be losing a little bit of money right now. And so, what do? Do you go up your risk tolerance and invest in more heavily into the market, or do you go to these alternative investments, which
have underperformed the market?
Exactly. So they're really in a bind, and I understand what they're probably trying to accomplish, but I don't know that I agree with the way that they're going about it.
Well, not to the degree that they're doing it, certainly. And that's the point of this question. All right. One of my favorite things for the show, you all know this, headlines. Headlines this week. Tuesday, enjoy Labor Day because September could bring carnage to the stock market. All right, what's wrong with this? Let's start with this. You know what the word carnage means? It means large quantities of dead bodies. I am not making this up.
Okay.
I looked it up.
All right.
NDR, stands for Ned Davis Research, I found out, says they can help you avoid carnage by one, reduce emerging markets equity.
Now?
Yeah, now.
If you had done that.
Now that they're in bear territory.
Right.
But listen, from what to what? Now, what's the most emerging markets you would ever have in a portfolio?
I like to stick under five.
You and me. NDR says you should reduce it now from 12% of your portfolio to 9%. That number sounds familiar. That 9%.
Why is that?
That's the one from the alternative investments and the trivia question.
Oh, okay.
It was too high then. It's too high now. Reduce your emerging markets exposure from 12 to 9? Seriously? Come on. And two, don't, quote, hide in corporate debt. As the Fed will hike rates and there are new bonds coming into the market to finance mergers that are going on.
Okay.
Huh? The look on his face tells me, what? So they're going to help you by reducing your emerging markets equity down to too high And they're going to keep you out of the corporate bond market because there are new bonds coming into the market.
I mean, I guess that's technically correct, but what is that? I don't understand what the strategy is.
Well, tell me what you're going to do. Not what you're going to not do.
Stay out of bonds?
Wait, does that mean moving a bunch of money into the money market? Well, you can't get that unless you sign up for the newsletter, right? All right, Wednesday, although this is a week ago. No bull market ever made it to its 10th birthday. Mm-hmm. Okay? You know, that's absolutely true. I'm going to tell you something that's just as true as that. No child of mine has ever reached his or her 42nd birthday.
Also true.
Yep. It's just as true, and it's just as meaningful. Now, do I expect my children to reach their 42nd birthday?
I hope you do.
Well, I do, all three of them, and I expect them to reach it on their 42nd birthday. And I'm right about that, about the day. I hope I'm right about all three making it eventually. But this is the biggest nothing in the history of the world. I'd say nothing burger, but I hate that term.
Yeah, not a fan.
It never made it to the 10th birthday. Well, yeah, but it made it to the 9.5 mark when it hit a new high recently. Now, what are you trying to imply here? I think it's fear. It's got to be fear. You know all the people who sell fear. In fact, I got a good one coming up. All right, this week, Wednesday, Cramer. You all know Cramer, right? Crazy guy who jumps around and acts like a monkey on top of his desk and pushes up his sleeves and yells and screams. And that's called advice. This one is Amazon's $1 trillion valuation seems too low. Really? How much profit did they make in 2017?
You can't. It's not. It has nothing to do with anything.
I know that, but I have a point. I always have a point.
Okay. I mean, it was very little.
They made $3 billion in profit. Apple, the world's only $1 trillion company today and the first one to reach that mark, had a profit of $48.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Apple has more than twice as much cash as Amazon. They should be about the same value. Or should one of those be worth more than the other one?
You can't say based off those numbers alone.
No. But a $1 trillion valuation seems too low. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
I don't know.
I'm not getting any younger.
No, that's true.
You didn't need to confirm that. That was a rhetorical statement.
Well, you just gave my age out on the radio, so I mean.
Well, you're not even 42 yet.
Yeah.
But by my definition, that's still young. All right, I mentioned a little bit ago about the trade problems we're having. You know, Canada's been in town Wednesday, Thursday, Friday negotiating, and strangely enough, there has been almost no leaking coming out of that. The only thing we found out is that milk is a real touchy point, and I explained a little of that last week, how even between East and West Canada, that's a touchy point. So you know it's a real stickler.
Actually amazing, the lack of any news on that topic.
Which tells you something. And what it tells me, and I can't prove this, of course, till it comes out, what tells me is they're still going at it real hard because if it had broken off, that would be the first news on the street.
Oh, yeah.
And you haven't heard it yet. So I'm saying that there's an outstanding chance that this is going to happen, and it's going to probably happen really quick, probably next week. But this little recent thing from the 5th of September is interesting. China is desperately trying to defuse spiraling trade war. Well, what did we tell you? Who's got more to lose, China or the U.S.? China, because when we slap a tariff on China, we're talking about a tariff on three or so times the goods that go into China as the ones that they send to us. Or other way around, I mean out and in. So they have an awful lot of downside risk in that if they're going to keep shipping us that much stuff, it's going to get too expensive for Americans to buy and they're going to lose some sales. And they know that, but the Asians are very, very, what's the word I'm trying to look? They're closed in their feelings and so on. They don't like to lose face. Well, we know that. So the job of our trade negotiators has to be to get this thing settled where everybody looks good, where nobody gives in. Well, that's just smart business anyway, the way I see it. So I'm not saying that the Chinese are wrong to be doing this. I'm saying that both sides are right to be doing this so they can walk away I have an old expression that I made up years and years ago and said, how do you recognize a good business deal? That's where everybody walks out smiling. How do you recognize a good political deal? That's when nobody walks out smiling. And I believe that to this day. It keeps proving itself over and over. The biggest stumbling block here is the intellectual property problem, where China's been taking our intellectual property. And the Chinese people are saying that that's really not that important anymore because it's being handled by the president. And he's going to come down real hard on people who do this and on and on and on, which we all know is not true. He says ratcheting up U.S. pressure will not work on China. For people who think China will give in to intimidation, threats, and groundless criticism, I think it's time for them to wake up. All right, that's the most face-saving comment I've ever heard. Now, my point here is very simple. Is this going on in the background or not? And the answer is, you better believe it is.
No doubt about it. But the one thing you will not see out of this is an admission of guilt by China.
Exactly right. But you'll see changes, and they'll be good for everybody, and that will stimulate the market. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Excuse me while I'm still chuckling, because Adam has a little anecdote here that just kind of tickled my funny bone, and probably a few of you know about it.
Yeah, I'm sure some of you do, but sure. And it's not even really that relevant, but it's just so funny, I had to bring it up.
I gave him an A for creativity.
So has anyone ever heard of NationStar Mortgage? I hadn't.
I had not.
A friend of mine told me that she had a mortgage with them recently, and there's more to the story. But in August of 2017, NationStar Mortgage underwent a large branding campaign to become known as, wait for it, Mr. Cooper. I'm not kidding. Apparently, NationStar has a somewhat checkered past. They had held a lot of mortgages that defaulted back in the housing crash, and they haven't exactly done a lot since then to improve their image. So from 2011 to 2014, the state of New York found over 900 mortgage loans that NationStar failed to fund in a timely manner, resulting in various consequences to their clients. They also opened branch offices without proper authorization, didn't maintain the proper documentation for client files, did not post their fee schedule, did not submit quarterly reports on time, and failed to file 90-day pre-foreclosure notices with DFS.
Well, and other than that, they were right on top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But this led to a $5 million fine, $5 million donated to a local nonprofit, and $7 million being refunded to their client. So what was NationStar's answer to all this? They rebranded as a fictional character named Mr. Cooper. Mr. Cooper, according to NationStar, is your friend. Mr. Cooper solves your problems. Mr. Cooper also collects your money, as NationStar clients now write their mortgage checks to Mr. Cooper. Ironically, the fines I mentioned above were levied shortly after NationStar rebranded as Mr. Cooper, so apparently Mr. Cooper is also a friend who collects your money and gets hit with large fines by the state of New York.
Because that A for creativity.
It's so ridiculous.
Well, when your brand name has been sullied, you need a new brand name, right?
Yeah. So,
well, look what Wells Fargo's doing. I've got the timeline. I'll maybe do that next week, all the things that Wells Fargo's had trouble with over the past few years. And they're keeping the same name, but you see them trying on TV very hard to say, look, this is a brand new day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're rebranded refounded in 2018.
And yet another one came out this week. Like I say, I'll probably wait until next week to do it.
I just got a text that says, I just got mail from Marcus by Goldman Sachs. So apparently it's a trend.
This is what's happening. Yes, I got to love it. All right, trivia question still out there. 2005, state and local pension managers had an astronomical 9% in alternative investments. That's actually grown over 10 years to what? All right, now let's get a little more serious. There is an uncomfortable side to what we do, and it has touched us recently. Not that many weeks ago, a nice older gentleman, and I use that term exactly like it is, nice, older, and truly a gentleman, came into our office to see us just for a financial checkup, and we all deduced that he was doing just fine, thank you, and unless there's some value in it for the potential client, Adam and I mostly just kind of tell him there isn't much we can do. You might want to tweak this and tweak this. In fact, we gave him a good hint as to how to save some taxes under the new tax law by taking a required minimum distribution as a direct charitable contribution. And that's something that if you don't know about it, you can always call the office and ask. But we did that, and that was that, we thought. Well, not that many weeks later, we got a phone call and a request for another meeting saying that he had been diagnosed with a terminal illness. Well, this changes everything, folks. He has no spouse. He was a widower. And there are a couple of beneficiaries, but they have a different kind of relationship with money than each other or with him. And it had to be taken care of, or it was going to result in a very, very bad distribution. So we started working with him to do fundamental estate planning and wound up with a trust instead of the pure will, and got his affairs in order and took over managing assets to mostly preserve during the time he had left. And then we made sure that the beneficiaries were taken care of the right way and all those things that just make all the difference in the world. We got a lawyer that we trust and have worked with a lot for him. So strangely quickly, he didn't last. It was so swift and sudden. I don't know, I guess I was shocked at how quickly this happened. But the hard work was already done, barely. The ink was still wet on some of the signatures on the paperwork, but it's done. So we are now in the process of wrapping up all of the paperwork and so on. And what we've done for him and with him is that we've made sure that the distribution of the funds is going to be, first off, according to his wishes, and second, safely protected from any possible problems from mishandling down the line. So this, you know, it's a terrible thing to have to talk about. We always have to address things like death and disability with our new clients and see what's being done about it. I can't ever say you get used to it.
No, it's and we probably spend 15 to 30 minutes in each of our second meetings, yeah, just talking about death. Mm-hmm. And it's morbid, but it's absolutely a responsibility of our job.
Well, one of the main things that we use in the state of Florida now is a revocable living trust. And what that does is it keeps your heirs from having to spend time in probate court, which nobody really wants, keeps it out of the newspaper, which everybody wants, out. And that's what happened here, and that's what's happening with most people. It was a good idea for wealthier people up to about 2011, and it became, at that point with a change in the law, a good idea for people who are far less wealthy than the ones we used to suggest it for. So one of the things – oh, we have – a call. Good morning, Cheryl.
Hi there. I want to guess the trivia.
Sure.
I'll guess 7%.
Too low. It's actually higher than 9 now, significantly.
Oh okay. Well, anyway, I tried.
Yeah, you did, and we appreciate it. Keep going.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Now, here are some things that might indicate a need to see a financial planner, and I mean a real financial planner, a certified financial planner, not a stockbroker, not an insurance agent, but just a few things to consider. Do you land in any of these categories? Do not have a last will and testament, or perhaps it's many years old, maybe from another state, and maybe from another marriage. You do not have a health care directive in the event you can't any longer make important medical decisions for yourself. You do not have a valid, durable power of attorney for a trusted person to help with your finances should you become unable. Do you own properties other than a private primary residence in the same state as your residence, or perhaps even in another state? Do not have a living revocable trust. Granted, not everyone needs one, but there are increasingly numbers of reasons to do so, especially in Florida. You might have outdated beneficiary designations on 401ks, IRAs, or life insurance policies. Might have been through a divorce and have blended families. You might be starting to plan for retirement. You might have some intended beneficiaries that are poor at handling money. How about if you own investments and or annuities, but you aren't sure what they are exactly and why you have them in there? Have received sudden money, either through a lottery, an insurance policy, lawsuit, settlement, something like that. How about you woke up one morning and suddenly realized you haven't even started planning for your future? We get that a lot. How about experiencing a change in a relationship with a family member? Managing your own investments and not making any gains on the market and being, we hear this a lot too, paralyzed as to what move to make next. How about you have too many accounts in too many places? We have coined a term for that. We call it financial clutter. You've changed jobs several times but never bothered to roll 401k plans into a self-directed IRA, part of financial clutter. Still working but approaching age 55 or 60, 65 even, and want to start taking charge of your own investments, you might be able to do what we call an in-service distribution or withdrawal, which allows you to start taking care of your own later years. How about you're starting a family and starting to think about things like insurance and other boring topics, college educations, getting a mortgage, life insurance, cash flow, and your big question is, how can we do all of this? If any of those things pertain to you or somebody you know, might be a good idea to call us. Banwe Financial,
685-1505.
Yes. I want to say 65 again. All right. Back in 05, state and local pension managers had 9% of their assets in risky alternative investments. Over 10 years, they took that up to 24%, which is a direct violation of the fiduciary responsibility that pension managers have. This is outrageous, and it needs to be stopped. All right, that's it for today. I guess we'll see you next week. This is the Banwe Financial Hour.